following is a presentation of Crane's Chicago Business, delivered by your earbuds at WGN Radio.
I'm Amy Guth, and this is Crane's Daily Gist for Wednesday. Your top stories today. In a new outreach, Boeing vows transparency to 737 MAX buyers. The plane maker is stepping up customer contact 2 days after revealing it had long known before the first crash in October that a cockpit alert wasn't working the way buyers had been told. Boeing met with 737 MAX operators and lessors in Amsterdam on Tuesday, the first of about six sessions planned around the world as the plane maker lays the groundwork for resuming commercial flights of the aircraft following the two deadly crashes. A Boeing spokesperson said executives are using the sessions to discuss how to maintain the jetliners, which were grounded days after a March 10th disaster. And the other topics in the sessions include pilot training, software updates, and a public campaign to bolster the jet's bruised reputation. Shares fell nearly 4% in New York after a downgrade by Barclays, which said the investors were underestimating the fallout from the crashes. Boeing's drop was the biggest on the Dow Jones Industrial Average as U.S. markets fell sharply amid fears of a worsening trade war between the U.S. and China. Meanwhile, the FAA is convening a panel of outside experts from the Air Force, NASA, and a Transportation Department center to review Boeing's software fixes for the aircraft. Governor J.B. Pritzker has dropped plans to defer making $952 million in required payments to state pension funds this year, an action he's attributing to rising tax receipts from a booming economy. In a letter to legislative leaders late Tuesday afternoon, Pritzker Revenue Director David Harris announced that income tax receipts in April were $1.5 billion more than earlier projections. More analysis on this story at chicagobusiness.com. Coming up, we'll talk with Crane's Chicago Business reporter Danny Ecker about the business of sports gambling and how one company is trying to encourage lawmakers to make it happen here in Illinois. That conversation after a quick word from our sponsor. A Chicago-based institution, Wintrust Commercial Banking provides area businesses with local decision-making and a personalized focus. With specialty services for specific industries and tools like treasury management, commercial lending, and wealth services, the dedicated team will support you and your business through every need. Wintrust Commercial Banking was built here in Chicago to serve Chicago businesses. Learn more about how they can help you achieve your business goals at Wintrust.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. We're joined now by Crane's Chicago Business reporter Danny Ecker to talk about the business of sports gambling and how one company is trying to encourage lawmakers to make it happen here in Illinois. Danny, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So talk us through this. We've heard of FanDuel before, and I think a lot of people are familiar with what they do, but they're looking to make an interesting move that seems rather strategic.
Yeah, so a lot of people know FanDuel as one of the biggest daily fantasy sports operators. FanDuel and DraftKings, you know, were kind of leading the way to try to get Illinois and many other states to legalize daily fantasy sports a few years back. So now, of course, they're back pushing in the wake of last year's U.S. Supreme Court ruling that allowed states to legalize sports gambling. They're pushing for a lot of states to legalize it. And here in Illinois, they're down in Springfield this week talking to legislators, and they're basically dangling a carrot at them saying, hey, you know, obviously you want the revenue and the taxes that might come from sports betting, but not only that, we want to open our Midwest headquarters here in Chicago with as many as 300 employees. But of course, that's only if you're going to legalize this. So this is something that they're just trying to throw an extra little bit of leverage in their favor, saying this is a big market for us. We want to make an important one, but we need your help.
And to zoom out a bit on another way to look at how strategic having an office in Chicago would be, not only, you know, the promise of, hey, we'd bring all these new jobs to the area, but we have on each side, we have states that are just awaiting sign off on legalizing sports gambling. And so suddenly it becomes a much bigger territory in a sense.
Right. And FanDuel has offices on the coasts. They have an office in Scotland. So this would be sort of the central U.S. hub for them. You know, they'd have a lot of tech jobs, a lot of some customer service reps, but also, you know, those that would be monitoring betting lines, things like that. And like you mentioned, there's some momentum in Indiana and in Iowa towards sports gambling legalization. There's bills on the table in Tennessee and Ohio and Michigan. So, you know, they're just trying to get ahead of that. And obviously, they're looking to Chicago's tech talent pool and downtown Chicago's vibrancy as an office market, which it has been for several years now, as a place they want to be. You know, and this is what they're trying to use that to say, hey, you know, this is a little bit of leverage we can have to make sure that that sports betting is legalized here because it's such a big market.
Right, right. I mean, a potentially tremendous market. What I think is a really interesting detail when we start looking at states legalizing sports betting is this tension between the tech end of it, that's app-based betting and you know, where you'd need to really tap a talent pool of technology workers. The push-pull and tension there between the good old-fashioned casino and then this tech end of things. Not that there's not a lot of technology in modern casinos, but nonetheless, it seems like there's a lot of tension between those two, and it kind of reminds me of a little bit of like the Uber and Lyft rideshare versus taxi and how that, hey, we've have this established practice. You can't come swooping in here with this technology and do this. I think that's kind of an interesting side story in all of this as we're looking at making sports gambling legal in Illinois.
Right. And FanDuel, I mean, they call themselves, of course, everyone likes to call themselves this these days, but they call themselves a disruptor in the gambling industry, which in many ways they are because, you know, so much of their offering is on your phone, which is a totally different way of gambling from what Illinois and many other states have offered in the past. So, you know, the longtime gambling stakeholders, the casino operators and others like it are wanting to make sure that, you know, there's a level playing field for them. You know, they also, there's some squabbling going down in Springfield over some casino operators basically saying, hey, you know, these daily fantasy operators like FanDuel and DraftKings, former Attorney General Lisa Madigan said that they were doing illegal gambling a few years ago, and they've still just continued to flout that and said and they've offered it the last several years anyway. They believe that they should be in a penalty box, basically, saying that they should not be allowed to have licenses if the state legalizes sports gambling. I'm not sure if that's going to fly. It's going to be really hard to kind of give licenses to some and not others, you know, especially considering there is so much more revenue that can come from mobile gaming, mobile gambling than, you know, kind of people walking into sports books because it's right there on your phone. People will do this to a much greater degree, as shown by the state of New Jersey, where just in the last, I mean, they legalized sports betting a little less than a year ago. They've taken in about $2.3 billion in bets so far, and about 80% of those have been online or on smartphones. So, you know, that's sort of the evidence that a lot of these, that FanDuel and DraftKings are pointing to, saying you have to have mobile betting. That has to be part of it because not every state has done that. Some just like to keep it in casinos and in sports books. And, of course, the other side of that is it's really tough, and this is a new thing. It's really tough to enforce and regulate mobile betting. That's something that's a difficult task that involves, you know, how do you prevent some 14-year-old from taking his parents' phone and saying, yep, I'm 18, I can make this bet, you know, as opposed to someone in a casino walking in or a sports book that, you know, you can't make a bet if you're underage there. So there's some interesting questions, and that's what some of the opponents down in the Springfield have been kind of worried about, saying, how do you enforce this? What's the cost of enforcing it? There's some unknowns. So, you know, with a few weeks left in this session, there's kind of still some back and forth between the kind of the old school of gambling operators and the new school and how they're going to figure out who gets a big piece of the action.
When we talk about sports betting, it seems like there's just kind of the conversation about legalize it or don't. And I think the nuances of technology and the role that it plays sometimes get lost. What are other things that you think get lost in the narrative or lost in the conversation when we talk about legalizing sports betting?
Well, there's obviously a lot of concerns about, you know, gambling addiction. And that's something that it's not really straight numbers where you're talking about, you know, the amount of revenue that you could bring in. I mean, there's the social consequences, I suppose you could talk about, that come with just, you know, really drastically expanding gambling possibilities. Now, the argument could be made to say that, look, people do this anyway. You know, there's so much illegal gambling that goes on all over the country, plenty here in Illinois. Most people I know who are big sports fans bet on, you know, overseas sites or bet, you know, found ways to bet online for years. And so the idea is, well, why don't we just bring this above board? Let's make this regulated and let's pull in some revenue for it. But, you know, of course, when you legalize something and it gets on more people's radars and they're able to, and you're not only legalizing, but in some cases encouraging people to bet because it's more revenue and promoting this like you would the lottery, you know, people who can make bets on their phone on sports can get carried away. And so that's one of the issues that I think that it's not necessarily the focus when you talk about a state that is looking to plug budget gaps and trying to find new revenue and all the things that Governor Pritzker is hoping to get from legalized sports gambling. But it's a legit concern, and it's something that the state needs to figure out ways that can help, I guess, provide services for people that are battling those addictions and things like that. So it's maybe a little bit of underneath the main conversation, but it's a legitimate one.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's really interesting, as we're also talking about legalizing recreational marijuana, the bigger idea of when something that at one point was taboo, or something that might still be a bit taboo, moving that into a legislative debate, moving that into a conversation about it being legal and open, and how that might shift a taboo that might still exist. I think that's a really bigger, interesting piece of that conversation too.
Sure, absolutely. And it's going to be interesting to see whether the fact that you have, you know, cannabis and you have and sports betting and all these different topics that are kind of all lumped together now, you know, it wondering whether they will all be kind of lumped together in a bill, or how they get passed, whether they'll get passed. You know, there's all these conversations are happening simultaneously.
All interesting things. Well, I appreciate you joining us today, and we'll keep turning to you for the latest. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Amy.
Continuing today's top headlines, Uber drivers around the globe went on strike today in protest of low wages, unstable working conditions, and other concerns. The protests come ahead of Uber's anticipated IPO on Friday, which could put the ride-hailing firm's valuation over $90 billion. At issue are long-standing disputes between the ride-hailing companies and professional drivers, who say the platforms have made it difficult to make a living. Demands from the New York Taxi Workers Alliance, which largely echoed other groups, included boosting job stability, raising driver pay, and increasing regulation of fares while guaranteeing drivers a larger cut. Some organizers also called for drivers to be classified as employees, a move that would have profound implications for the ride-hailing business model if enacted by governments. More on that story at chicagobusiness.com. Coming up, the unexpected escalation of President Trump's rhetoric in the past few days appears to have caught global equity markets off guard. More on that story right after this word from our sponsor. Wintrust Commercial Banking offers a full suite of financial resources designed to meet the needs of middle market businesses and larger companies, with comprehensive and personalized financial solutions coupled with bankers who get to know your industry's demands. Wintrust Commercial Banking is committed to providing the tools to help your business reach its strategic growth initiatives. You've got a vision for your business, and Wintrust Commercial Banking is here to help you see it through. Find out more at Wintrust.com, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Stocks began to recover some losses Wednesday as investors considered whether the U.S. and China would come to an agreement to resolve a more than year-long trade dispute before new tariffs are set to take effect Friday. Investors were blindsided Sunday with a tweet from President Trump stating he was set to raise tariffs on $200 billion worth of Chinese goods and tack levies on an additional $325 billion of Chinese imports. Stocks from shares of technology companies to industrial manufacturers gained momentum early in the trading session to pull all three major indexes higher. The gains have so far stopped a harsh two-day stretch of declines and global stock sell-off triggered by worries over the outlook for trade, with U.S. equity index futures and European shares tracking declines across Asia. Until tomorrow, that's all for Crane's Daily Gist. Thank you to producer Haima Black. Find analysis, breaking news, data, and lots more at chicagobusiness.com. And find me on Twitter as @AmyGuth. And let's continue the conversation.